Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Andrea Monti-Solza. He has a background in data science, especially in fintech. Today, he is co-founder of Conveyo, which is making it fast, simple, and stress-free to access and transact in residential real estate. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. That's a very flattering introduction.
What do you want folks to know about you in terms of setting the stage before we get into today's discussion? How did you get to Conveyo and what led to that?
Yeah, I've always been a process geek. I started my career as a physicist, then moved into banking, spent about 10 years in the financial industry here in London, working for Bank of America, UBS, first as a data scientist, working in FX and rates, then as an algorithmic trader, quantitative analyst on the stock market. And you get a sense for how efficient we are at transacting certain types of assets out there. So when I got a bit older, in my late 20s, early 30s, I started digging my feet into property and getting on the property ladder. I realized how cumbersome and awkward real estate is, right? And most of what people see is the cool stuff like Zillow or the real estate platforms. But there's so much that is paperwork based and like just full of friction underneath, right? So we don't really have a clean end-to-end user experience, which is what brings me to you.
Okay, so let's dive even deeper into that. So the real estate market is crazy. What are some examples of some of the typical problems that people will go through?
Yeah, typical problems would be, I'm thinking particularly of the European market or Canada or Australia. People start figuring out there's something wrong with the property after a buyer is found. So if you're a seller, there's typically a longish period of time. In the US, not so much, because you guys do a lot with title insurance, so real estate can be pretty quick. But any of your neighbors in Canada or most European countries, it can take months before you find a buyer. And only when you find a buyer does the legal process start. And that's when you realize, oh, this certificate is expired. And then all of a sudden you have to go to town hall. They put you on an 8-week queue to get some paperwork out of the basement. Your buyer gets cold feet. They start negotiating and everything falls through. And in the UK at the moment, for example, 30% of sales fall through, right? And the average duration from listing to closing is 6 months, which is insane. And that's not just the UK, by the way. So if you move to another market like France, it's about 3-4 months. Canada, more or less the same. Australia, 2-4 months. It's nuts.
So what are the culprits here? Is it partly regulatory, or is it just the way things have to fold out? Is it people doing the right or wrong things? And
to a degree, it is regulatory. Like government could step in and mandate a better process, but they tend not to mess with the property market because since the 90s, more or less, they decided it's a market thing. What that has resulted into is that we have these completely disconnected verticals of the sort of finance side, the lenders, mortgages, the lawyers, and then the realtors. So the sales, the due diligence, and the financing side of things are completely separate industries. Imagine you run something like Amazon like that, where the marketplace, the payment gateway, and the logistics are completely separate. That would be like nuts, right? Nobody would buy on a platform like that. Yet that's every day in real estate.
Okay, so that's an excellent explanation there that you've got the different verticals. They have their own way of processing. So financial sector, very old. It's got its own ways of operating and the way loans happen and all that stuff. And then the real estate world of people trying to sell and buy property. Is there any other factors that are cause conflict, like structural conflict in there? Or is that kind of the main thing?
I would say what I described so far, you can call it cultural or historical in a way, but the other problem is that their incentives are not aligned. So typically these three verticals, they don't like each other very much. The realtors always wish the lawyers and the finance guys went faster. Finance guys and the lawyers have got a lot of risk on their books that they need to balance, and so they tend to go slow. Sellers and buyers, who should be the stars of the show, right? That's what good customer service is about, are typically the least knowledgeable person and the people left wondering what the hell is going on. Why am I paying so much? You seem to be doing so little, right? So there's a lot of intransparency, misaligned incentives, and as you said, systems that were historically grown. And so there's too many chefs in the kitchen, right? There's nobody at the wheel, really.
Okay, this is amazing. Okay, so the sellers and buyers, and we look at other markets where you have two-sided markets. Is this where what you're building gets into to Conveo? Tell me how Conveo now enters the scene.
Yeah, to a degree, right? You could see a key to an efficient market is to have some sort of exchange, right? A place where the buyers, the sellers, and the due diligence providers meet and trade. It's hard to set up real estate that way, primarily because you have about, I don't know, 30, 40,000 stocks worldwide. You have hundreds of millions of assets on a real estate market. So it's a little bit unrealistic to have an all-out exchange for real estate. But what we are building, property by property, is something that approximates that, right? So what we do, we offer a bit of infrastructure, much like you would think of your Uber or Airbnb in the early days. They don't own cabs. They don't own the drivers. They're not their employees. So you provide a really slick bit of infrastructure that realigns all the incentives. And because we are, as an independent third party at the wheel, we are basically the party that makes sure that the transaction progresses milestone by milestone, holding everyone accountable. So we bring in transparency and we bring in accountability because we control the process end to end, and we are the only party to do that. We can realign incentives in a way that makes everyone happy. So everyone gives away a little bit, but gains so much more by working with us because it happens so much faster and the process is actually cheaper for everyone.
So it's making me think of things like Airbnb, although you said it's not quite like that. You brought up Uber or Carvana, the car buying one makes it a lot easier.
That's a really good example, actually. Yeah.
So is that where you're headed? Is that where you are right now? Tell everybody the site to where Conveo is.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. It's a fun story. So we started about 3 years ago in London out of a startup accelerator called Antler. They're in the US as well now. It's your Y Combinator kind of thing, right? I did not know my co-founder prior to starting the venture, so that was also quite exciting. It felt a little bit like married at first sight, but the business version of it. His name is Konrad. He's a German M&A and property lawyer. My background, as you said at the start, is in fintech. And we were thinking about the same problem space. And when we came together, we really gelled on how real estate is cumbersome and we wanted to do something there. I have the techie side, the data side has got more of a lawyer perspective to things, which works great. So where we are right now, we are expanding in the UK across different locations. We are active across the entire market. Obviously, there's a lot of like hotspots like London, Manchester. There are booming markets within the larger ecosystem. We work really well, again, like Uber or Airbnb do, in places where there's a lot of buying and selling pressure, obviously, because we bring so much efficiency to the process. So right now, yeah, it's a great time. We're growing and scaling. We're already in conversations with with lawyers and estate agents in other jurisdictions, particularly around Europe, where we can implement the model. But for now, we're laser focused on winning the UK. There's 1 million transactions in the UK every year, and scaling to just 1% of that market, that's a really good business.
Everybody, that is Conveo.io, Conveyo.io. So when folks start using Conveo, you land on the page, you've got get a quote and option, or you can log in and start poking around. Is it that you set up a profile and I set up as a profile as a buyer, or you set up a profile as a seller and we go on there and it's the whole matchmaking deal?
Yeah, pretty much. So the idea is that, look, when you talk to customers, most people are so overburdened with other stuff in life, work, family, children. You really don't want this to be another problem in your life. People rank buying and selling home as one of the top five causes of stress alongside bereavement, job loss, and so on, right? So the experience we have designed is an end-to-end concierge. You decide how much you would like us to do. We can bring in independent estate agents that we rank based on performance data. You can bring your own estate agent. We bring two lawyers. In the UK and other jurisdictions, you need two real estate attorneys on both sides, right? But other jurisdictions, like in Europe, you only need one. It's a very flexible workflow that you can adapt to a local jurisdiction. But in principle, the product that we offer, the service that we offer, is an end-to-end concierge service, so you don't have to worry about it. It's completely transparent. You see who the people are, you have the final say, but we connect you with trusted ecosystem partners that we've worked on hundreds of transactions with, so you get the benefit of you retain the control. You can see the data that's driving every choice we make. You can see where everyone is in the process, and then we take it from there. And keep going back to your mission statements around UX and how 80% of what we do is just good design. whether it's a process or the interface. I'm a real Jeff Bezos and Steve Jobs fanboy when they, in all those talks from the 80s and the 90s, where they say, look, I don't really care how we do it. I don't really think about the technology. I think about what the customer needs. And then we have to work the technology out retroactively. And that's exactly what we do. There's so much out there that's not non-trivial.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing because in this market, so first tell us, what does the competitive market space look like in there? Because so often at the time, X is a differentiator that you need. And you say, okay, this functionality is offered by maybe three, four, five different competitors out there. But sometimes you've really got to differentiate on that UX where people come to your site, they just start using it. It's easy. And they say, okay, I'll stick around over here because it's easier to do. But what does the competitive space look like in this real estate software?
It's a very good question, right? And there's two ways of answering it. So on the one hand, some of our competition are primarily right now, I think we fit in the real estate attorney bracket. So because we deal with the due diligence side of things primarily, we are literally competing against all the other real estate attorneys on the street. That's one way of answering the question, at least for customer attention. In terms of the problem space, there are definitely other startups looking at this problem space. We have sister companies in Canada and in Australia that are also part of our same portfolio, actually. So this is happening in other jurisdictions as well. The interesting thing I notice is that most of these startups are attacking the problem from a slightly different angle, right? So for example, we believe in owning the customer relationship from the very get-go, ideally before the seller has even brought the property to the market, right? Other people attack the problem from the buying angle and they try and win buyers, or other people do more of a sort of B2B kind of proposition where they try and sell optimization tool to realtors, for example, each of which solves part of the problem, but we all have slightly different theses about the problem.
Yeah, and where are you guys in terms of when you think about technology versus people offering solutions? You know a lot about the stuff in your space, people who are at Conveo. And then when we look at the sort of continuum of trying to become as close to PLG as we can get in the products that we build, where people can just log in and just start using it. And how many people are involved in the process of someone's experience? Are there experts behind the scene helping fill in the gaps? Or are they being connected in a peer-to-peer, or are they offered from Conveo?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. Let me describe a typical process, right? So as you said, like a few moments ago, it would typically start with a seller bringing their property to market. They sign up, they request a quote, they sign up, or if they're already signed up, they can request a quote through the portal. And then what we do, they're instantly matched with one of our concierge. So we have a concierge team, a dedicated concierge team. They are then asked for some information about the property, based on which we match them with, I would say, the top three estate agents in their area. They can go, or they can choose one, or they can enter a multi-agency contract, or they may already have an estate agent. Again, we're not here to replace realtors or to replace real estate attorneys, right? We are here to become a facilitator of a process that nobody single-handedly can facilitate, right? So we create this layer. Then at that point, when they're happy to take the property to the market and they sign the contract, we very quickly pull property data from the digital land registry here in the UK. We do property searches. So these are regulatory searches that some jurisdictions around the world require for you to sell your property. Things around subsidence, previous construction works, planned works in the area, et cetera, et cetera. So the buyer gets a full property passport of sorts, right? So when they come and view the property, it's not just viewing as you would view it on Zillow. You literally know what the fabric of the building is made of. And this is counterintuitive because a big cultural shift that is ongoing is for people to realize that the more open you are about your property's defects, the more likely you are to find the right buyer for you. Because what happens if you're shy about, if you try and sell the perfect property when it's not, typically buyers during their due diligence process, they're going to find out, you're going to have costly negotiations and potentially a fall through. So what we notice is it's actually much better to be upfront about any shortcomings that your property might have, because that will get you to the right buyer much quicker and you'll save money. And then at that point, when the buyer is found, we also bring in an independent real estate attorney for the buy side. And we make sure the buyer is fully onboarded as far as their finances are concerned, and he gives you complete source of funds checks. And that's it. Then we're whistling all the way to closing, because all the legal work by the time the buyer is found has already been done.
I think that's so important, the getting informed about the area part, right? Is there construction? Am I going to move into here? And then I find out next year that there's this big Walmart being built down the street. Or
this used to not be a problem, right? Because dipping in and out of real estate was so much easier in the 90s, in the 2000s. Today, millennials being priced out of the market, you're basically like, you're you're making a 30, 40-year decision, and you're not as likely to buy an upscale as our parents would have. There's much more gravitas coming with that decision, and it's only fair that you make a fully informed decision. As you say, you don't want a motorway or a Walmart being built next to you for in the next 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, are there multiple target users in this? So there's the obvious one, the buyers coming on to have the perfect experience of, can I find the house? But then you mentioned that you don't want to cross out the realtors, and they're talented and they've got a lot of good work to do. And do they have the ability to log on and be like, yes, I'm going to create
100%. Yeah.
Conveo? Yeah.
So, apologies if that wasn't clear. We are not a replacement for the likes of Zillow or Rightmove here in the UK, or pretty much every country have got their own property portal. We facilitate that. We pick up from where they leave off. So, obviously, they are the marketplace for properties. Once you've clicked, I'd like to get a viewing, that's potentially when we take over. And in fact, we have partnered with some of these property portals to do exactly that. They generate leads for us the moment somebody expresses an interest in a property. Because the problem that realtors and property portals have is to uphold their promise of efficiency. It's incredibly efficient view and find properties today. It's not so easy, especially outside of the US, to get to closing quickly. There's so many hurdles that nobody single-handedly takes care of. And that's where we come in. So for the real estate agent, for example, they already have lots of platforms they work with for listings, for due diligence, for ID and AML checks and all that jazz. We don't want to be another platform that they have to use. So we have a very lightweight, basically they create a profile on our system, and then we just send them weekly roundups, daily digests. They don't even have to check what's happening because it's all handled by our concierge.
Okay, so you're not even trying to do, oh, we're going to be an end-all be-all for realtors in a suite, in a platform. I wonder, who knows, maybe in the distant future, you might grow to the point where you do want to do that. But right now, it's simple. They've already got their workflows. You're not trying to offer that part of it yet. Just giving them, it's informational for them.
Correct. So what we aim for is minimum disruption for every real estate professional involved, right? They have their own way of doing things, which we respect and appreciate. We know that in order to make the process better for everyone, small changes here and there are needed, but we also want those to be minimal so that people have the very best experience they can have according to their own definition of the best experience.
I was reading an article the other week about AI being a big problem in real estate nowadays, and folks are uploading pictures of AI cleaned up things. What is the solution? This is a side point, but you're a real estate person, so I wanted to ask you, what is the solution to that? Do you moderate that when people upload pictures, or is there any way to do anything about that?
I mean, as far as we're concerned, as a service provider, we do not share any of those pictures outside of our ecosystem, right? There's an angle there. There are tools that allow people to use their floor plan and photos of their property to mock up a 3D rendering, and then you can decorate it and see what it will look like. But then it really depends who you push this information to, and there's typically a disclaimer. We don't do it yet, but I know some of the portals do. It's tricky, right? The way we use AI, it's very self-contained, and it's much more around translating or summarizing documents that are jargon heavy in a way that the layman can understand. Obviously, a lot of what we do is regulated, right? It's a regulated activity, but we are keen for people to sort of at least have an understanding of what is going on so they can proactively, through kind of an LLM style interface, ask questions to the data that we have about the property and about themselves. But no sensitive information. We don't share, obviously, with any LLM provider personal details or anything that would potentially be stored be sensitive from a privacy perspective.
Andrea, if you had to sum up in one word what you're trying to do, what is it?
So we're not really selling a service. That's what we do on the surface. Really, we're in the business of trust, right? And the whole real estate industry, but the same as thing you could say for the financial industry, relies on trust. So you have a very small window of opportunity to capture a consumer's attention when they come in contact with you, especially as an unknown quantity as we are, right? Because we are a starter, it can be a bit sketchy if you've not heard about us before. So that's why we put a lot of effort in getting the messaging right on the website, getting the UX right. Because as I said before, I often refer to Jeff Bezos and Steve Jobs. And I hate Steve Jobs because they made Apple and Steve Jobs made good design so commonplace that now it's almost like a curse, right? Because there's only that much you can do as soon as you start a business. And you have to put so much focus on getting the looks right, because otherwise, if a button is not in the right place or something feels a bit off, people will not even touch it. You may have a great product, but they'll not even touch it.
Nice. And are there any roadmap items that users should be excited about coming down the line in the next few years? Anything that you can talk about?
Let me think.
We don't
It
have to
really,
get too competitive here, but.
no, it really depends. It really depends where the market takes us, right? In a certain way.
So you're being agile about it and
Yeah, for
listening
me,
and
really,
responding.
it's about deeper integration with all the kind of partners we have. We've got a big push from the startup ecosystem, for example, our startups that are disrupting this space. And I think there's a little bit of a vendors alliance coming up, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how we can integrate further with challenger portals, with challenger lending services, and so on and so forth, to create a real alternative to the current system, which is clearly not serving the public very well.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Andrea Montisolza out in London, UK of Conveyo.io. Where can people find you personally on LinkedIn?
Oh, yeah, I'm always around on LinkedIn. So, yeah, come say hi, DM me.
Excellent stuff. Everyone, check that out. Andrea, thank you so much for being here and telling us about this.
Thank you, Thomas. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.